Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
All right, here we go. Fourth and final hour on the Monday after Conference Championship weekend. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams, and for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. A disappointing conference championship weekend if you're a fan of the Kansas City Chiefs and also the San Francisco 49ers. You're feeling the complete antithesis of that. But as a football fan that didn't have a dog in the fight, game number one, I was fine with. Tennessee gave you more than what you could have expected in the first half when Mahomes goes on what will be a legendary 27-yard run, the big Mahomes moment. You knew the game was over there with what Tennessee was able to do in the first half to be down by four at that point. You knew Kansas City was going to win the game after that. And in game number two, we were hoping for a close game. San Francisco is just so much better than the Packers. And Jimmy G only threw the football three times in the second half. They're already up 27-0. It didn't matter. There were no adjustments made. There was no way that the Packers could stop the unlikely hero, Raheem Mostert, who had 220 yards and four touchdowns, and Rodgers just did not play well. So as a team, we just see how much superior the San Francisco 49ers are compared to the Green Bay Packers, even though both teams had 13-3 records. If you really delve into the records of those teams and who they beat and who they lost to, it's different. Because you look at impressive wins by the 49ers, you look at the Packers, there's not too many impressive wins on that resume. All right, let's get to it. We'll get to onsides, offsides right now. Tom DiBenedetto, hit it.
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
Weird vibe, by the way, today in the office. I know a lot of people are off, so we appreciate you listening to us. If you're off, and it's also important to make sure that we say it's Martin Luther King Day, and obviously, for you have holidays and people get off and you forget the importance of the holiday. It is important to remember why we do have off on a day like this, and remember all the great things Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. did for our country. However, with that being said, though, in this office, it's so quiet, because We are supposed to be here, and we are here. Technically, we're going to take the day off, but when you do Sports Talk Radio, it's really lame if you take a day off after conference championship weekend. And if you do, hey, you get entitled to your off days. I'm not going to speak against the union or anything because we have a great union and all that. But I sit here and I say, if you love this job, why are you taking off on a day like this? You shouldn't be taking off the Monday after conference championship weekend, regardless of the games are good or not. But the salespeople, they get off. And there's not a soul here. And you figure one or two people maybe would come on in and transfer over the days to another day of the calendar. No. We're in the newsroom. All right, Mikey B, say this one. Six, seven, eight people maybe in there, max?
Yeah, it was an awkward feeling. It was just eerie being in the newsroom. There was no energy. There was no vibe that you usually get from people coming in and out, bothering the hosts and the anchors, looking for something. None of that. Completely quiet. Very strange.
It still feels like to me, and maybe it's just me, that it's a Sunday right now. And when I came on the air on the East Coast, I felt like it was 3 p.m. It was 6 p.m. Now we sit here at 9 p.m. It feels like it's 6 p.m. Eastern time, which I know it's throwing all the time zones and all that all over the place. It's just an odd feel to that.
It is something about the games yesterday, then rolling into today. Nobody at the office. I'm completely with you. My whole time space continuum is not where it needs to be.
Maybe we would have felt different if it was like the games last year, where it didn't matter what time you're on the air, or you just felt as if and things are moving 1,000 miles per hour with the controversy of the Rams and the Saints and then that Patriots-Chiefs game being a classic, maybe that would be different, since pretty much Sunday was, unless if you, like I said, unless you're a fan of the Chiefs or the 49ers, it was a dud. It wasn't that great. That second half, you barely needed to even watch it. Even when the Packers scored that opening drive touchdown, 49ers answered right back, and that game was over. So you always want these great games. Sometimes you don't get it. Maybe it's a reverse effect of last year, where it was like the greatest conference championship weekend, and then I like the Super Bowl because I'm a Patriot fan. But a lot of people last year didn't like the Super Bowl, even I'll admit. And I don't want to sound like these are first world problems for me. Oh, it's a boring Super Bowl and my team won. Like, I don't care how my team wins, just as long as they win. But I could see why last year people thought that was a boring Super Bowl. So maybe we'll get the reverse side of that. Bad conference championship weekend and then epic Super Bowl this year with Mahomes throwing 4 or 5 touchdown passes. The 49ers actually being bold and maybe letting Jimmy G get into the 30s next week. Or how about even the low 20s? Can they do that? Only having them throw 8 passes yesterday, but give credit to Shanahan because there's a lot of coaches that would say, got to throw the football 20 times regardless. Got to do it, got to do it. Can't have it any other way. Mostert was hot, and he was rolling all night long. All right, let's get to the questions, onsides, offsides. Enough of my anecdotes. Let's get to the questions. What do we got?
All right, here we go, Zach. Aaron Rodgers fell to 1-3 in conference title games as he has been on the losing side of 3 straight conference championships. Rodgers has a quarterback passer rating of 78.0 in NFC title games and has thrown more interceptions 7 than touchdowns 6 in those games. With all that said, the Packers finished the regular season 13-3 and were the second seed in the NFC. Onsides or offsides, Aaron Rodgers will reach another championship game. We'll say NFC or AFC.
Why? You think he's moving teams?
I'm just giving the option for you for your answer.
Can we stop with that? I know you're getting ahead of the curve now. We even throw that out as speculation. You see what's happening now with Tom Brady. Can you imagine what level it's going to be with Aaron Rodgers if people start getting word that there's a chance he could go to another team? Oh, that would be insufferable. I'm already tired of the Brady conversation. So I'm not even going to think about the Rodgers future post-Green Bay if there is a future post-Green Bay. This Packers team, they have work to do. I'm very curious what they're going to be next year. Vikings and Bears, how they respond. I expect the Lions to still be bad. I don't think they have this great long window. They have to fix the defense. And you have a coach in his first year go 13-3. I understand a lot of people are going to be discouraged yesterday from the Packers. And I think the 49ers, you know, they have potential to be a good team for a while. But how many years do we see this? A team be really good. Like the Rams, for example, last year. Oh, the Rams will be back. They didn't make the playoffs this year. So it's going to be tough. It would be easy to just say, nah, they'll never make it. But let's say Rodgers plays another 4 or 5 years. Let's just say he gets a bye one time. You got to win one game to get to an NFC title game. I'll take my chances. I'll bet on Aaron Rodgers that he gets to an NFC title game again. And that's the way it goes in this business. A team goes 13-3, even though at times we thought they were fraudulent 13-3. They lose one game, and now it's doom and gloom. The future's over, and turn out the lights. The party's over with the Green Bay Packers. You know what? If Rodgers plays another 5 years, I'll say one of those years, they have, you know, just on a bare minimum for the question, they have a great season in terms of wins and losses, and they find a way to get back to another conference championship game. Now, Super Bowl, that's another question. I don't know if that's going to happen. Last 2 years, they missed the playoffs. That one, I don't know. But for this question, I'll go onside, so reach another NFC title game.
Before the magic run from the Titans and Ryan Tannehill began, Marcus Mariota was the starting QB. Mariota was benched in the 6th game of the season, and the second overall pick of the 2015 draft played 5 offensive snaps the rest of the year. Onsides or offsides, Marcus Mariota will be a starting quarterback in the NFL for a team to begin the 2020 season.
To begin? No. Eventually, some point next year? Yeah, it's a possibility. Because he's going to go to a team that there's another quarterback in place. Like, if he goes to Chicago, you have Trubisky in place. Can he pull the Ryan Tannehill on Trubisky? Like what happened to him this year? Yes, he could. Tampa Bay, you're going to go to Mariota?
well, if you can get him on a cheap deal, I guess it's better than giving a lucrative contract to Jameis Winston. I just do believe he's going to go to a spot where he's going to compete. They're going to go with the guy that they have currently in place. And if that quarterback faces adversity and doesn't bounce back, then Mariota will eventually get a job. But to start 2020, I'll go offsides.
Offside.
Number three, Trace, in honor of Ryan Hickey. Ryan Trace Hickey.
Who's out in the newsroom right now. During Sunday's NFC Championship game between the Packers and 49ers, the Fox broadcast panned to the crowd and found acting superstar Rob Lowe. Lowe was seen wearing a generic NFL hat with the Shield logo on it. Twitter and the internet had a field day on this and roasted the Tommy Boy star. Onsides or offsides? Fair for the Twitter trolls to get on Rob Lowe for his hat.
I'm going to be honest. At first when I saw this, because I didn't really care about the story, at first I thought, and I just kept on hearing the name, oh yeah, Rob Lowe. And for some reason, the way my brain was working, because it's a Fox situation, I was thinking it was Rob Riggle, who is funny, but those NFL skits that he does on Fox are horrendous. I've never laughed. I know Terry and Kurt and all the guys on Fox, like the hysterically laughing Strahan when they see these Rob Riggle skits. I've never laughed once. So when I first saw this, I'm like, is this some type of bit, Rob Riggle? And I'm like, oh, it's not Rob Riggle. It's Rob Lowe. And I've never, as much as I love the NFL, and I say this all the time, NFL is the greatest drug in America. It really is. We could see all the disgusting, nasty things that go on, and we still watch each and every Sunday, and we're captivated as ever. I've never thought to myself, I need to buy a generic NFL logo and wear it. Because you root for teams, you root for players. So if you're rooting for a player, you go get his jersey, or you go get his player t-shirt. You're a fan of a team, you wear their logo. I would never sit there and say, oh, let me get a generic NFL hat. So I think it's fair. You know, Twitter's a cesspool. Social media, I love it. I also hate it. So people are going to make fun of whoever they want regardless. But fair for Twitter trolls to get on Rob Lowe for his hat on sides. Because it's so odd. Have you ever bought an NFL hat, Mikey B?
I have not.
Have you ever bought an NBA hat?
I have not.
Just NBA, generic logo.
I have not, no.
NHL?
Nope.
Soccer?
Nope.
D-Bet, I know you're a big soccer fan. Have you ever bought an MLS just generic logo hat?
No. And if I was gonna, I wouldn't buy like a black one either to make it, you know, he just looks like a ref. Exactly.
Yeah.
Like put some color in there or something. I don't know.
And they probably could have put Rob Lowe in the field in some of these games this season and be one of those replacement refs. Question is, they call a touchdown or an interception. Who knows? But really, I think it's fair that Twitter is getting on Rob Lowe for his hat because it looks so out of place. It looked like it was a commercial. Is this really what they're showing? Rob Lowe and a. On a hat? And an NFL hat? Yeah. Don't love it. Goodell probably gave it to him. With some free tickets, too. So, onsides for that one. Number four, what do you got for me?
All right, Tom Brady made some headlines
who?
This weekend. Tom Brady, some dude who played quarterback.
Pretty damn good, right?
Yeah, I've seen him play. Yeah, he's fine. Headlines this weekend when he was seen chatting with Raiders owner Mark Davis at the UFC 246 fight in Vegas. He also had some interesting quotes during his weekly interview with Westwood One Radio. I'm open-minded about the process. At the same time, I love playing football, and I want to continue to play football and do a great job. I'm looking forward to what's ahead. Whatever the future may bring, I'll embrace it with open arms. Onside or offsides, Tom Brady playing for a team not named the New England Patriots is overall a good thing for the NFL.
I'm going to go offsides here. I was making this point earlier. Now, I'm a Patriot fan, but I understand still being a Patriot fan. It's very rarely that almost everyone agrees on one thing in the National Football League. And 31 other teams, when you take the Patriots out of the equation, they have fans that no matter what happens with their football team, win or lose, they get joy in seeing the Patriots lose. Now, the Patriots could go have an awesome season next year and win the Super Bowl. I'm not going to count them out from doing that. They could also have a season like this year where fans enjoy to see Brady and Belichick get beat up. I think for the league, it's best that Brady and Belichick, with that storyline, I think it's at its finest when they're together. Sure, it would be compelling if Brady goes and has success somewhere else and to see what Belichick can do. If you want the best thing for the sport, though, it's Brady and Belichick going at it one more time this year together. and seeing if they could get back to the mountain at the top of the mountain, or if they're going to get close and then fall down while doing so. I think the storyline of them together is just at its finest. You know, when it is as simple as them being together, they go different teams. Yeah, it's a little bit intriguing, but once again, I'll go offsides on this one.
Offside.
All right, what do we got?
And then to finish it off, following the Chiefs' AFC Championship win over the Tennessee Titans, everyone took to celebrating in their own way. For Andy Reid, it was enjoying a delicious cheeseburger and then, well, going to bed. Onside or offsides, Andy Reid celebrated the proper way for making the Super Bowl.
No question. If this was the first time he's ever made the Super Bowl, I would say go all out. Go have a filet mignon. Go have a few drinks. Party it up. For Andy Reid, he knows that he has not done what is needed in his career yet, and that's to win a ring. He broke through the first time, lost in the Super Bowl after a few NFC title game defeats. Now at this point, the only thing that's holding him back from everyone in 100% fashion saying Hall of Fame coach, Hall of Fame coach, is a Super Bowl ring. After what happened last year, it's expected that he got back. Now he is back. One more win to go for Big Red. So I'm all fine when he takes off that Hawaiian shirt at night and he has a burger in his tummy that he just put his head on the pillow and went to sleep to get up the next day and prepare, as he's going to do each and every day over the next 2 weeks, to try to finally get that Lombardi trophy in his hand. Now, after that, if he does win, I expect some big guy celebratory moves from one Andy Reid, and then I think he could treat yourself and have a little bit of extra fun and pop in some bottles of champagne with Andy Reid. That, you know, that's when you celebrate. At this point in his career, you don't celebrate. Just get him back to the Super Bowl. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. When we return, we have to delve into a little Kyrie Irving. Kyrie's talking again, and he's giving myself a big-time headache. We'll discuss why when we return to the Zach Gelb Show.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. He's glad you're still here.
That's why I love this job. I get paid to scream, woo, in a microphone. Woo! Zach Gelb Show. Woo! CBS Sports Radio. Woo! Mikey B in the house. Woo!
Woo!
Tom D. Benedetto in the house. Woo! And Jay Berman on the updates. Woo!
Now back to the Zach Gelb Show.
It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227. Is sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. All right. Kyrie Irving is always in the news. And there's sometimes where you can't avoid, like, you really can't avoid being in the news. For Kyrie, I understand he walks, it's a story. You know, he gets hurt, it's a story. He has a good game, it's a story. He has a bad game, it's a story. But there doesn't need to be a story that goes viral about Kyrie Irving each and every day. But a lot of times it's Kyrie Irving that's making himself the story. And there's ways that he could personally avoid being the story. This was Kyrie Irving earlier today at a shoot-around before the Nets and Sixers played. The Sixers ended up beating the Nets. Now, Kyrie didn't play in the game because of a tight hammy. He's been dealing with shoulder injuries this year that made him miss about 5-7 weeks. And also had a hamstring injury. Let's listen to what Kyrie Irving did say earlier today.
When I was out for those 7 weeks and not saying anything, and still people are still saying things about me, it's inevitable. You know, they crucified Martin Luther King for speaking about peace and social integration. You could go back to historical leaders and great people in society that do great things, and they're still going to talk shit. It is what it is. Like, I know what I stand for. I'm a great family man. I have great values, core values. This basketball stuff is a game at the end of the day. It's dramatized. It's entertainment for people and fans.
Here's my thing to Kyrie Irving. I'll get to the least egregious thing that I heard in there first. If it's just a game, don't play anymore. You made all your money. You had your big signature shot, which was one of the great things to see if you're watching the NBA. It was so fun to see that LeBron James block and that Kyrie Irving three and that epic comeback. If you don't like the drama, if you don't like how the game is covered, if you don't like what people say about you, go retire. Go live on an island in somewhere where you're not going to be annoyed and go away if you can't handle it. That's what I would say to Kyrie Irving. And Kyrie, let's be fair. You create a lot of your own drama. No one asks you to stand in front of those Boston fans and say, I'm going to be here as long as you want to have me and then be a bad teammate behind the scenes. That was all your fault. And then, D-Ben, can we just play that one more time? Because I know what I just heard, but I got to hear it one more time when he starts to compare himself in any way on Martin Luther King Day to Martin Luther King. I got to hear that one more time.
When I was out for those 7 weeks and not saying anything and still people are still saying things about me, it's inevitable. You know, they crucified Martin Luther King for speaking about peace and social integration. It was, you could go back to historical leaders and great people in society that do great things and they're still going to talk shit about them. It is what it is. Like, I know what I stand for. I'm a great family man. I have great values, core values. This basketball stuff is a game at the end of the day. It's dramatized. It's entertainment for people and fans.
Yikes. That's really cringeworthy. You want to talk about tone deaf. So since people got on you, I guess, when you were hurt and you were out for over a month, you're going to somehow compare that even though Martin Luther King did great things in a time where racial tensions were extremely high, you're going to compare the backlash and where his heart was at in a good place, that criticism to your criticism, even if you didn't mean it that way, just to follow it up with what you said and then with the sentence after you say, Dr. Martin Luther King, huh? Are we serious? That's what he elected to do? I thought he was tone deaf, by the way, a week ago, and we talked about this with Iron Eagle, actually, at the end of last week. When he came back from the injury, a game or two afterwards, they were playing the Sixers again. I guess whenever it's the Sixers, he says something stupid. Maybe that's what it is. And he starts talking about the glaring weaknesses that the team had. Now, Kyrie, you've been out. I don't think it's smart in your first few games back when something doesn't go your way to start criticizing your teammates. I just don't get Kyrie. And I used to be a big Kyrie Irving fan, and I've gone through cycles with athletes over the last few years. Like, for example, Kawhi Leonard. I hated how he left San Antonio. And the tone nationally on Kawhi Leonard was very negative. Kawhi Leonard, though, won everyone back last year with this playoff performance. And he's pretty quiet for the most part. Kyrie Irving was at the top of the mountain when he hit that game-winning shot. Then he wanted to leave LeBron James and he wanted to be his leader. Fine. He wanted to be his own guy. He wanted to be the guy. He wanted to be a leader. No problem with that. And he wasn't a great leader in Boston. That didn't last as long. The team was actually better when he was on the bench. And I'm someone that always sat there last year and said, you need Kyrie Irving. You need Kyrie Irving if you're Boston. They're better with Kyrie Irving. But we saw it two times where Kyrie's not on that team and the team just flows better. One, when he was on that team, him and Hayward got hurt, and we saw what they did in the playoffs. Then he comes back, and that team never found their identity. And look what happens now when Kyrie's no longer there, and you bring in Kemba Walker. They just flow better. So Kyrie wasn't ready to be the guy. Now, he goes to Brooklyn, and he chooses to go there. And Kevin Durant goes there. I understand it's probably frustrating not having KD on the court this year. But you're acting this way this year, and I just don't think it's the right move by Kyrie Irving. And what I really do think this all goes back to is that night up against Boston when he didn't play. And people were probably questioning how legit the injury was or was not or whatever. And typical sports conversations where it's speculation and there's no true answer there. And his feelings got so hurt because fans were booing him and chanting whatever negative things about Kyrie. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of times where people take sports too seriously. And we say things on Twitter and we say things on talk shows. And I try to keep it fair that people would never say to someone's face. Because how many times do you see someone go up to person, a Kyrie Irving, and say, Boo, you suck. Unless if you're surrounded by 20,000 fans in an arena. If you see Kyrie walking down the street, unless if you're trying to just make a viral video, you're not going to say, Kyrie, you suck. No, you probably say, hey, can I get a selfie? Can I do this? But this guy is just turning into his worst enemy. And three things specifically just this year are really starting to annoy me. That letter and that Boston game. The thing a few last week with the whole glaring weaknesses with the team, and now this. Because that quote that he gave today was just idiotic. Here's what I realized with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. It seems like they have no problem when everything's going their way. And it seems like they have no problem in dishing it, but they can't take it. And I totally get it. When you're Kyrie Irving, when you're KD, you grew up in a social media era, you have your phone with you all the time, and you look at Twitter, and that's how you grew up, and you see these negative, ugly comments, they could be really, really bad. And yes, sure, sometimes you want to fight back and clap back, but you made it. Like, you're great. Why can't you just ignore it? And they let the criticism get so under their skin, it's so clear. KD had a burner, got exposed. Now he tweets people on the regular going back at them. And Kyrie's just so vague about it. But he keeps on having to show that he's annoyed, and he keeps on diminishing the game by just saying, hey, it's just a game. Once again, if it's just a game, don't play the game that made you a star. Don't play the game that made you millions and millions of dollars, that set you up for life, your family up for life, their kids up for life, their great, you know, grandkids, great-grandkids, future Kyrie Irving family members. Don't play the game anymore. You made all the money. Just go home if you can't deal with a little backlash. Because fair or not, with Kyrie Irving, you wanted to be the guy. You messed up in Boston. And now you're in Brooklyn. And I said this when Kyrie Irving picked the Brooklyn Nets. There's no more room for complaining if you're Kyrie Irving. And really, the clock doesn't start ticking until next year when him and KD are actually on the court together. You have to act the right way, though. Because what happened in Boston was embarrassing. And now you should be the happiest person in the world because you didn't get traded. This was the team you picked. This is where you wanted to be. This is quote-unquote home. You grew up as a Nets fan. You love New York. You're from like New York, New Jersey. There should be no complaining here for Kyrie Irving. There could be frustration, sure. But the complaining? Let's stop. I'm sick of the narrative that Kyrie Irving feels the whole world is against you. Guess what? Breaking news. Newsflash. When you are a public figure, people love you. People don't like you. People sometimes cross the line, not saying it makes it right, but a lot of times people just tweet you things just to get under your skin. And you keep on showing them how much it gets under your skin with all these responses. Like, how negative was it when Kyrie Irving was out? How bad was it when Kyrie Irving was out? Other than that night in Boston, well, you know what? I understand the Boston fan being upset with Kyrie. But what did people really say that was that bad to then follow it up with the sentence about how people tried to tear down Dr. Martin Luther King? That's where he lost me. I don't get it whatsoever. What do you think about Kyrie Irving's comments? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We return. We talk about drama being created. Well, there's a lot of drama between Richard Sherman and Darrell Revis, and I think Darrell Revis didn't help himself out with some of the tweets that he did fire off yesterday. We'll talk about that when we get back.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Hey, this is Howie.
And this is Nick
from the Backstreet Boys. And you're listening to The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And guess what?
Zach is back, all right.
He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is The Zach Gelb Show.
Oh, my God, we're back again.
I'm watching this video via SportsCenter. So I didn't watch the McGregor fight live, and thankfully I didn't pay for it. because it was, what, 41, 42, 43 seconds, something like that. I did bet on McGregor. I threw down $25 to win a big whopping 963. So those are one of the bets I made. But I'm seeing this video now via SportsCenter. They're showing all the celebrities that are there. And they're running through the list of celebrities, of course. And you have, for example, Mark Davis is there, the owner of the Oakland Raiders. And you're seeing them pan through the crowd. Christian McCaffrey, the Carolina Panthers running back, is there. Tom Brady is there. And then they show Myles Garrett. And sitting next to Myles Garrett, and the lower third on the screen says Myles Garrett, Cleveland Browns offensive end, number one overall pick. And they pan out, and Baker Mayfield is adjacent to Myles Garrett. They give Baker Mayfield no love. That's how bad this year was for Baker Mayfield. Where you go from statistically a great rookie quarterback season to this year being a punchline to every joke. You're at a UFC fight, and you can't even get a lower third sitting next to Myles Garrett. Yikes. All right, Baker. You know that has to, you know that has to really annoy Baker Mayfield. He's probably calling his agent. Why did I have a lower third? What's going on with that? Maybe I'll go shave seven times during the entire fight. By the way, let me get to this Revis stuff. We'll end it with the phones. David Quigley, I'll come to you before we get off air. 855-212-4CBS. So for a long time, there's always been that debate, and there's always been animosity and beef between Darrelle Revis and Richard Sherman. Sherman, always an outspoken cornerback. That's kind of how it always is with any cornerback. They're always outspoken cornerbacks. We all know that. But for Darrelle Revis, he was the best cornerback for a long time. And then Richard Sherman came into this league, and he took this league by storm, and he was always outspoken. And what Richard Sherman's been doing with San Francisco has been great, just like what it was with the Seattle Seahawks. So I always understand that Darrelle Revis can't stand Richard Sherman. Because if you look back at this era, you're going to debate Darrelle Revis and Richard Sherman. And Darrelle Revis's claim is always, he goes man-to-man. He'll go guard Gronk for an entire game. He'll go guard Randy Moss for an entire game. Where Richard Sherman plays zone coverage, or he just plays one side of the field. So Darrelle Revis, I guess, still can't stand Richard Sherman. But let me rewind. This was actually Darrelle Revis with us on when I did the weekend overnights, and I asked him actually about Richard Sherman just to see what he would say.
He made plays in this league. You know, he's made plays. He's played on a great defense. You know, they should have won three or four Super Bowls, you know. I think if I was in that secondary, we probably would have won three or four Super Bowls. But, you know, in a sense, you know, the football registrar, he's made his plays, so you got to give him his respect and right for that. They played a lot of cover three. They played a ton of cover three, and that's fine. I mean, it's his coach is putting him in the best position for him to make plays. You know, for me, I'm a true cover corner. You know, I've played in the slot. I cover guys in the stands. You know, I'm handing Randy Moss popcorn while we playing the game. I mean, it's a little totally different of how I played it and how he plays his game. And there's other corners that plays that play the same way as him. And there's corners that play kind of mimic the whole Deion Sanders cover corner, the Jack Tatums, the Mel Blunts of the world, who actually play a lot of man-to-man coverage.
So there you go. So throughout the whole clip, you could tell Darrelle Revis is throwing some shots in there. You know, he says he respects him, but I didn't think that was very authentic when he said it, and he gets that jab. If I was on that team, I would have won three or four Super Bowls and all that, blah, blah, blah. So here's what I'll say, and I've always been Team Revis over Sherman. They're both great players, but I was more Team Darrelle Revis over Rich Sherman. But even with that being said, Revis looks bad on Twitter the other night. Richard Sherman's going to the Super Bowl. Richard Sherman made a huge play last week with the pick. Even though it was in garbage time this week, he got a pick. I wouldn't be saying, okay, this is where I'm going to take my shot at Richard Sherman. Now's not the time. And Revis tweets out during the game, fear of getting beat in man-to-man coverage, every snap, every play. The fact that he doesn't travel as a cornerback is lame, except the challenge as the best. And he spells accept E-X-C-E-P-T when he means A-C-C-E-P-T. But okay. As the best and shut Adams down the entire game. Do it for the game of football. Stop hiding a cover three zone. It's just so unnecessary. It really is. Now, Sherman, to his credit, had a great response. And Sherman is a tremendous trash talker. He goes, and it's accept, and spells it the correct way. Thought I would give you a lesson while I was here. And then he also goes on to say the entire league in turnovers, because this was Revis, you know, in turnovers, five interceptions and four fumble recoveries. Enjoy the Super Bowl and strap up, because this game you will have to cover. Sherman, of course, was getting after him, say, hey, my ninth year better. But Sherman said, I have to cover every game. I get my hands on the football in the playoffs, something you will never know anything about. Wow. Oh, well, Revis did have a pick in the Deflategate game, the infamous Deflategate game. But Richard Sherman, Darrell Revis, still in 2020. They're going at it. And for this one, Revis looks bad. Even though I've been more team Revis over Sherman, I don't get the criticism that Darrell Revis is getting given Rich Sherman. I get, hey, you cover wherever you go. Sherman is more so in the cover three, like they said. But at this point, if you are knocking Richard Sherman, it's silly. And I guess if you're Richard Sherman, go back to last week's rant, he should have just been abundantly clear that it's all about Darrell Revis. Because you could tell what Sherman said last week. I think Revis thought that was directed at him, and now he's firing back. And it probably was directed at him, because this has been an ongoing beef for years now. All right, let's end it on the phones, 855-212-4CBS. David in Buffalo, listening on SiriusXM 206. What's up, David?
Hey, Zach. Appreciate you taking my call tonight. Want to weigh in on the games from yesterday and have a thought on the Super Bowl. You know, I really think there's one thing about Patrick Mahomes that I'm going to say. It reminds me a lot of when Tiger Woods was really in his prime on the PGA Tour. It didn't matter where Tiger was playing, you were tuning in, and that's how I feel watching Mahomes. He's that good. I mean, he's that fun to watch. He can do it all, just like Tiger, you know, has done it all these years playing on the tour. So it's going to be a great challenge for the 49ers. But I'll tell you one thing, the way the 49ers played in the trenches with, you know, their defensive line and obviously their offensive line had a great game yesterday. That zone blocking scheme is just so dominant in the way they push people off the ball. If their defensive line can really get after Mahomes, I think they've got a shot to win this game, but I think Garoppolo's got to throw the ball more, and the game's got to be played in the 20s for them to win. What's your thought? And enjoy the show, man.
Yeah, David, hey, I appreciate it. This game, I do believe it's an ultimate toss-up. Right now, I would lean towards Kansas City just because of Mahomes. But that defense, that's going to be the fun talking point about this game. It's going to be the 49ers defense up against the Kansas City offense. And then the matchup that won't get talked about as much, but I do think it's very important. I do agree with you. If the 49ers are going to win, they're going to have to throw this football a little bit. You know, they're going to have to throw it at 27, 28 times, unless if they just get another performance like what you saw the other day, which is very unlikely, where you're just running wild all throughout the game and Kansas City can't stop it. That Kansas City defense has improved at times. Their run defense was awful, but now that defense is in a good spot. And look what they just did to Derrick Henry the other day. But that Mahomes offense, even though how good this defense is, that's going to be a heavyweight fight just to see the way it goes down. Quigley in New Mexico, next up, listen on 1610 AM. Quigley, what you got, my friend?
Good evening. How are you, sir?
Always great. Great to hear you, Quigley. What you got?
Oh, I only get you an hour a day here Monday through Friday, so, and if one of the Lobo games on, I don't even get you. But I agree with you with the Kyrie Irving thing, but I got a question about that. Why don't some of these coaches and managers and some of these various teams with all these troubled players like this sit them down and go, look, shut up. You're being paid to do a job, not run your mouth.
The answer to that, and I hate to let you run, and I appreciate you listening just because I have to let you go because the show's almost over. I only got a minute left, and I do want to answer your question. The NBA players run the league. That's what it is. And, you know, if Kenny Atkinson walks up to Kyrie Irving, and then Kyrie Irving can't stand Kenny Atkinson, who are they going to pick? Kyrie Irving? Nets fans going to want Kyrie Irving or Kenny Atkinson? They're going to go with Kyrie Irving. Now, usually when you get those battles in the NBA, not NFL, NBA, coach, player, player's going to win. And that's the way the NBA wants it right now. It's a player-driven league off of drama. So what gets you to that success if you're Kyrie, yes, all the hard work and all that, but what makes the NBA so interesting isn't the physical play, but it's the drama that surrounds it. So when things go well for Kyrie, it's all good. But the minute someone's critical, it's all bad. Fun show today. D-Ben, Mikey B, great job. Thank you to each and every one of you for calling, listening, and tweeting. I'm Zach Gelb. Scott Kaplan coming up next. Peace.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.